Hello, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne Rayson from the Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. Today, I have a fellow Australian with me, which is really exciting because it doesn't happen very often. Larissa Hart, welcome to Yachting International Radio. So excited to talk to you about the notion of balance. And I know your perception on balance is bullshit, but I can't wait to unpack that with you.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Yes, another Aussie. It's lovely to have another Aussie voice. And I'm really excited about this too. I have my husband's family are very much into yachting and boating and sailing, and they'll be mostly horrified that I'm here because I know nothing about nautical things. But I said, it's okay. We're not talking, you know, trimming sails and those sort of things. This is actually about the well-being of all the people that are involved in the yachting world. So, yeah, super excited to be here.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's interesting with regards to the super yacht industry, there is not a lot of balance. It's all work mostly. And when you do have time off and get to play, I think it's play hard, fit in as much as you possibly can. It's not like your standard land-based job where you get time off, where you can request time off to go to a wedding. You miss out on these special events because really you are under the thumb of the employer, the owner, yeah, and the captain. So I think this topic is very, very important to address and discuss, and fantastic that we have your expertise to unpack what balance actually means in a very heavy working environment where you're working 7 days a week, all year round, you follow the sun, and there's not a lot of downtime. So just a bit of background about yourself, Larissa. How did you get into this sphere of finding happiness, joy, fulfillment, and balance and confidence?
All those things in a little nutshell. Yeah. Well, I like to say that I'm a happiness strategist. I am so taken with people and their stories and about where they are. And I love to support them to move to the next step that's right for them. And often when I meet people, you know, I say, what would you love more of in life? And I speak with a lot of women. And the way they answer that question is they say, not this shit. Like, I don't want any more of this shit. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But what would you like more of in life? And it's a question that not many of them can really answer, because I think so often we get wrapped up with the position and the current situation that we're in, and we're not even sure of what we want to move towards. And that was really me about 7 years ago. We were just chatting before we started the interview, and I was saying that, you know, I was a mum of two boys. We were living a fairly average suburban life, and we decided to have a third baby. And what you know transpired for us was it wasn't what we were hoping and dreaming for. You know, we had hopes and dreams of having a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. But unfortunately, during my son's labour, he passed away. And so for a young mum with a 4 and 2-year-old, I was dealing with a whole lot of grief and a whole lot of sadness. And it's 17 years ago. He would have been 17 this year. His name's Flynn. And even though I can speak about him fairly calmly now, you know, he still sits there with a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow. So at that time I decided that I grieved for him, but I had these two little boys that really needed a mum. And so I packed away that hurt and that trauma and that sorrow and that grief, and I put it all away because I didn't actually have time for it. I just needed to get on and get things done. And it was through that, and as I said to you just a minute ago, Corinne, it's a short-term solution and lots of us use it. And it's actually a good solution in moments when you really need it. And I'm sure it's probably a solution that many of, you know, your members use too. Like, okay, pack it up, put it away, can't deal with that right now. But it's not a long-term solution because that will always rise to the surface at some stage. And it's often when you don't want it to. It's often when your defences are, you know, at their lowest that it comes to a head. So my existence and what I noticed that was happening with me is that I could see everything, I could hear everything that was going around me, but it was like I was living behind glad wrap or cling film. Nothing really permeated. I could be in a gathering, I could be with people, there could be smiles and laughs around me, but it just didn't actually hit because I was really just living in that superficial sort of space of just getting through. And it wasn't until I went away for a weekend with some girlfriends who knew me really, really well that I let down my guard and just released all the things that had been pent up for that time. So that's really my journey about my experience of living in that superficial, trying to meet everyone's needs and trying just to keep moving forward when that actually isn't the pathway to happiness at all. So what I love to do now is to support people to just find out what their own recipe is for their happiness. You know, I think that we've all been sold a bit of a furphy about having this perfect balanced life. Mm. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of us who are watching social media or who are watching our friends out there in the world thinking, oh, they've got it together. You know, they've got it all made. Mm. Bit of a newsflash. Mm. No one's actually got their shit together like we think they do.
Mm.
No one's living this perfect balanced life. Mm. And I think that a balanced life isn't actually what you would want, even if you could achieve it. So if you think about the ballerina, you know, who's on point, who has this perfect balance and she's on the top of her toes. If you zoom in, she's actually making micro adjustments all the time. She's not purely still and in that space. And if you think about, like, if I said to you, you know, stand up and get balanced, you know, and have equal weight in each foot, if I came and to push you, you'd have to really get rigid to hold that position. You think about, like, you'd sort of lock your thighs, you'd lock your knees, and if something come to push against that and to knock you off your balance, you've got to be really rigid.
Mm.
So often this idea of having balance in our life, it's really about rigidity and having a pattern of being that we have to hold really tightly so that everything looks okay. So I don't reckon that's how anyone really wants to live, because within the rigidity of that, like, where is space for spontaneity? Where is there space for following, you know, an idea or being curious about something? If we are perfectly balanced, we don't have room for that. Mm. So in a nutshell, that's my reasoning about why we don't necessarily want to have the perfect balance in our life. And I hear though, Karinya, when you're talking about your members and the people who will be listening and tuning into this, they're like, I don't have any balance, not even a little bit. I'd like a little bit.
Mm.
Because there's that really leaning into, you know, being, as you say, on call, following the sun, working, you know, within that structure that you've got, which is really about tilting. And that's one of the strategies that if people are finding that they are too rigid in their ways because of trying to hold everything together, then one thing we can do is to tilt like this.
Yeah. What I'm hearing, Loretta, is about, yeah, I think it's about connecting to your intuition. So when you're starting to feel stretched, or if you can pick up the early morning signs, it's your cue to take that respite and find something that's going to regenerate you and restore that sense of balance. So with myself being pregnant, and I would say I'm a bit of a workaholic, to acknowledge that I'm tired and to give myself permission to rest is so, so important. And if I feel like I am just going hard with work and realizing, oh, this is probably not quite healthy, there's an opportunity where you could do work on another project or go for a walk, then use that opportunity, because it's your intuition telling you, I need something to break that up, and what can I do with the 20 minutes spare time that I have?
The beautiful thing is that refilling of your cup, you know, that re-energizing, it doesn't have to be done in equal parts to the work that we're doing, which is really great. So often we think about balance, it's like, you know, 8 hours of this and 8 hours of this and 8 hours of this. And it doesn't need to be that. So we can lean into and we can be fully immersed and really present wherever that we are, if that is into work. You know, so there's a lot of us who will be leaning into work and having this sense of guilt that we're not somewhere else where we feel like we should be. You know, that we are maybe not with the family, or that we're not with the loved ones that we want to be. The idea about balance, this modern term about balance, it's really a mechanism to help us move away from feelings of guilt. That's how we tend to use balance these days, is that if I could just have a bit more balance, I wouldn't feel so crappy about doing all the things that are taking me away from the people that I love. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So often we're only half where we need to be. You know, we're leaning into you know, the work that we're doing. Then if that's what we're doing, that's what we're doing. We need to lean into that and know that there'll be other times when we lean in the other way. But as you say, within that leaning into the work, if we notice, okay, I'm getting frustrated, I'm about to bite someone's head off, I'm starting to feel really fatigued, then we can take small chunks to, you know, do whatever we know that really helps to fill us up. And that's that recipe that is unique to each person. Some people will do some meditation. Some people will go and actually go for a walk. Other people will connect with a trusted friend. Like, whatever you need in that moment is what you take, and then you can lean again. Lean in. I talk about this tilting and this leaning, and we know that in sailing, when we lean into the wind, we go faster, right? Like, we get to our destination quicker, and that's what we really want. But we also know if we only lean one way, we run aground eventually, like you're gonna hit land. Like, it is about changing tack as well. So we can't just lean in one direction. But if we want to get to be productive, if we want to actually achieve more, sometimes it's really cool to lean into something and to be present in that space.
Okay. So that be present in that space, what are your tips around getting grounded and feeling present when you feel very clouded about the shoulds and I could do that and how do I do that, and yeah, just feeling overwhelmed with trying to find that sense of balance in a high pressured environment?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the best thing you can do is breathe. And I know that sounds, so the things I'm going to say are going to sound super obvious, and they're going to be things you've heard before. That's because they work. Okay, so we want to be alert, and we want to be able to be really present in that space, and the quickest way to do that is to take some deep breaths. Okay, what that, it just brings us back into our body. And the cool thing about breathing, you don't need anything else to help you with it. It's a mechanism you've already got. We just forget to do it. We forget. And when we're in a heightened state, we tend to shallow breathe. Like, we're just breathing in here. We're just having this really shallow breath. So a couple of deep breaths firstly. So I like to use an acronym called STOP. S-T-O-P, which is just, it just does what it says. The first thing is S, is that you actually stop. The T is take a breath. The O stands for open. So it's become open and aware about where you actually are, as opposed to, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, mm-hmm. you know, crisis mode. And then the P is for proceed. So we stop, we take a breath, we become open and go, okay. Okay, I've got this. I'm okay. We do that little bit of self-talk that we know that supports us. You know, I'm confident in my skills. I can, you know, I've got support around me, whatever those things need to be. And then we proceed and we keep moving.
Fantastic. That's a great skill. Is that from DBT, Dialectical Behavior Therapy?
I don't believe so. I don't know.
Oh, okay. There's so many great tips, and I think we tend to forget what resources are available. So that's why it's so helpful to connect with a happiness strategist or a counselor or a coach or whatever it is, just to give you the resources and the pathway to really honing into what you want and what you're looking for in life. And I love that question that you pitched to your clients correct me if I'm wrong, but it was something about, well, what gives you happiness? And
what would you like, what would you like more of?
What would you like more of? And they don't know.
No.
So how do you work with that? How do you help them discover what they would like more of?
I'm so glad you asked.
And my other question is, yeah. I would love to know, I know you work with women, but is the answer with men different?
No.
No. Okay.
No. So what I do is I take them through a really short exercise. And for anyone who's watching who would like a little audio version of this, please just DM me. I'm happy to send you a copy. So what I do is take them through an exercise, and I'm sure, Corinne, it's not going to be a new one for you, but it's about our perfect average day. So it's about sitting quietly with our journal and a pen and paper, and I just ask them a series of questions, and I get them just to allow the first thought that comes to mind to come down through the brain, through the arm, through the pen, and onto the paper. What I don't want anyone to do when they're doing this exercise is to edit and filter. Like we don't want it to go through this frontal lobe, okay? That's where we do all the analysis. We don't want that. We don't want to come from this beautiful, raw, emotional state of the day. So it's a perfect average day. So what we're doing is we're planning a day that's going to happen in the future that we are prepared to live over and over and over and over again. That's why it's called an average day. Now, sometimes when I'm talking to clients and I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about what our perfect average day looks like. And I seem to say, now, we're not sailing around the Mediterranean. Now, for your guys, they might be sailing around the Mediterranean. but it's, what is our perfect average day look like within our reality of what our world looks like? So if you're on board and you're working, like, what does your perfect average day look like? And we go right from the get-go of the day. We go right from that you are coming out of your sleep state. You're coming into your first, you know, shallow areas of your waking state. And I just want you to write down, what are the first thoughts and emotions that you're thinking and feeling? And just write them down. What do you usually do? Because sometimes what we usually do, we go, oh, shit, what day is it? Oh, that's going to happen. You know, all those sort of things. But in your perfect average day, what would you love your waking thoughts to be? What would you love your waking emotions to be? And then open your eyes, look around your space. What do you see? What do you notice? What would you love to be seeing and noticing in your space? What are the first things that you do at the start of your day? How do you begin your day? And then we go through the activities of the whole day, right through to what conversations are you having over lunch? Are you having any conversations over lunch? What would you love to be talking about? Who would you love to be connecting with just before you go to sleep? You know, what the whole day looks like. And the amazing thing is when we do this activity, we do this exercise, all the things that we want more of are on the page. Because it is a perfect day that we're planning for ourselves within our current reality. Mm. So if we're writing that, you know, after dinner, we meet someone, you know, just in the hallway, and they congratulate us on a fantastic day that we've had, and we're receiving praise. Or if we're writing that, you know, we've just had a beautiful message from a friend who is, you know, sharing some really positive and beautiful news about their life. If we're writing that, you know, we get up in the morning, the first thing we do is actually meditate, right? But we actually don't do those things yet. Well, the cool thing is we can see on a page what are the things that we would love. Now, some of those things on your page are going to be this far away. Like they might feel like, I'm dreaming if I'm ever going to experience that in my perfect average day. Some things are. But some things are going to be this far away. Like there's only some things that we can do. We can just create some small changes and start to bring in those things to our perfect average day.
Mm, very interesting. And it's funny because I'm going to be releasing on Wednesday some of my goal strategy tips, and research shows that if you write down your goals physically with a pen and paper, that it increases the materialization of those goals by 40%.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Because what you're saying, I do visualize, like I think about, oh, I would love to start my day off with a meditation, a bit of yoga. The reality is I never do it, and that frustrates me. But I reckon if you put it on paper, and you go, well, what's holding me back? What's getting in the way of achieving this? Yeah. And to be very honest, it's just myself. I mean, of course I can achieve it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so the beautiful thing is you've got a written version of your perfect average day, which you can read whenever you like. And what I often suggest to people is go through it with some colored pencils or textures and circle the things that, as you say, the meditation in the morning is super achievable. Like, go for your low hanging fruit, circle that first. Mm. And it might be that you're drinking more water, you know, like all the things that you would love to be doing in your perfect average day. They're all low hanging fruit. Take the low hanging fruit. You know what? There's a beautiful saying, and it says that a great life, I have to think about this for a second, a great life is nothing more than a series of well-lived days strung together like a string of pearls. Mm-hmm. So the great life that we would love, you know, that life where we think, oh, I'd like all these great things, they're actually just really small, well-lived moments that we start to string together. So we don't have to think, oh, it's so far away. You know, what I really long for and what I really desire in my life seems so far away. It'll come. Mm. We work on the little things, the big things come. So that's what I would be suggesting for people. If they're not even sure what they would like more of, do an exercise and you'll see it. It's written on the page. And the cool thing is, you can start to see what the actions are that you get to take.
Oh, Loretta, I'm so excited to have you as a guest expert in my membership TCC tribe, because I know they're going to be absolutely thrilled and walk away with so many takeaways. I know that our focus theme for that workshop in particular is 4 steps to finding joy and happiness. And I think having that space to reflect and practice these great exercises that you're sharing is so important.
Yeah.
We really need it if we want to move forward. And I'm also very excited to hear that you're writing a book, because clearly you are a wealth of wisdom, and to be able to share your knowledge in a grander way is phenomenal. Can you tell me a little bit about your book? I know we were discussing it briefly before.
It's getting happiness through. That's its working title at the moment. So for lots of us, when we were younger, we sort of knew what brought us joy and where our happiness lay, and we knew how to access that. But for different reasons, as we age and get a little bit older, sometimes those pathways aren't open to us anymore. So this book really is an exploration of about 20 different pathways to happiness, lots of different areas of our life that we can explore and trial and see where our happiness lies. So there's chapters about using your curiosity, about getting creative, about using your courage, about understanding your passion, about adventure. There's so many different chapters, and the idea is that it's a book that you can just pick up and just open to any page and dive in and explore a pathway to more happiness.
Oh, amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. And how do people find you? I know you've got heaps of resources out there. So where would be the best place to access those resources and learn more about you?
I think on Facebook, Loretta Hart, just come and DM me and I can link you up with a few little questions. I'll link up with the best resources that I've got. I think it's probably the best way to go about it. I do have a Facebook group called the Happy Chicks Collective, which has lots and lots and lots of resources in it as well. But if you DM me and I can just guide you in the right direction.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Loretta, for your time and sharing all your knowledge with us. Really appreciate it.
It's been gorgeous. Thank you so much for having me.